Good morning, everyone. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:04 a.m. on Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present with me are Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we have a quorum. My opening comments, since this is the last time prior to Christmas I can say this, is I believe there are, what, 8 or 9 shopping days left until Christmas, so I'm officially in panic mode. It's like, it seemed like I had so much time, so I'm getting there. But just I hope everyone has a very happy holiday season, and wish everyone a Merry Christmas in advance of the upcoming days that hopefully will be as normal as possible. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would add that if you're just starting Christmas shopping, good luck, because the stores are slim pickings. And beyond that, I don't have any opening comments.
Commissioner Christman?
Just one question. You guys started Christmas shopping already? No opening comments. Merry Christmas. I don't know in advance.
Now I am nervous, even more nervous. Thank you for that. Julie, appreciate that. We have 13 items on consent. On the previous minutes, I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, the first order of business. I move that Commissioner... Oh, wait a second. Okay, as the first order of business of the reorganization of the commission, Steve, do I do the motion first? Or
no.
Okay. Are in order for chair of the commission for the next 2 years, and I nominate Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move the nomination cease and that Commissioner Fedorchuk serve as chairman of the Public Service Commission for the next 2 years, effective January 1st of 2021.
We have a motion.
Doesn't somebody have to second that?
We do. Yep. Need
that. Would need.
Sorry.
That.
I'll second it.
Mr. Chairman, you could also second if you would like on that one.
I'll second it. In fact, I'll third it as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, and as a token of my undying appreciation...
Oh, the whammer's back.
You.
Woo! Yes.
Yeah, you get the whammer hammer back. Wait a second. I got hit with that on the way in, and I'm going to get it on the way out. It's not the way this is supposed to work. Order.
Oh, it's so much for my vow to grow up. Thank you. I will enjoy using this frequently.
Well, it has been a wonderful experience, and I've enjoyed every minute of it, and it's appropriate to have it pass along to Commissioner Fedorchuk, and you'll do a great job, without question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Randy, appreciate.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could add, you have done an excellent job chairing this commission for the past 2 years, especially these last 9 months, and navigating us through, I know, what was a nuisance at many times, trying to figure out how we do things to follow the law, keep meetings open, make sure there's good access to the public of our activities, as not only the law requires, but as benefits us in order to reach the best possible conclusions. And you've done that smoother than I think anyone would have imagined possible, if anyone could have imagined how nearly impossible this year would be. And so... good job, and thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
I would say mega dittos to that.
as well as, thank you to the support of the staff in particular. So, yeah, that who could have imagined what a year like this or the year would have turned into? And but we'll get through it. All right. The second item. On my agenda list, I move that commission portfolios be allocated as follows: Commissioner Fedorchak, Business Operations, Siting, Railroads, Consumer Affairs, MISO, OMS, Commissioner Chrisman, Coal Mining, Reclamation, and Abandoned Mine Lands, Licensing for Auctioneers and Auction Clerks, Wind and Solar Reclamation, Telecommunications, and SPP. And for Commissioner Crotius, myself, Economic Regulation, Pipeline Safety, Damage Prevention, and Weights and Measures.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, well, thank you, everyone. That concludes reorganization of the commission, and I will move to my next agenda item, which is BK3. I move the commission find the complaint filed by the North Dakota Public Service Commission advocacy staff on September 21st, 2020, states a prima facie case and serve the complaint on the respondent and Public Service Commission, Randall's Excavating Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU-19-384.
Second.
On December 18th, bless you, 2019, the Commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Robert Johnson at Midco. The complaint alleges a violation by Randall's of North Dakota Century Code 49-23-04 of the one-call excavation notice system by presuming that an underground facility was abandoned without verification by reference to installation records or testing, any violation of the one-call excavation notice system did occur by failing to contact the operator as soon as reasonably possible and backfilling over the damage. In their response to the commission that was triggered by a staff letter to Randall's that was sent on December 19th, Randall's response asserted that there were no markings in the area of the facility and that the backhoe operator did not consider the line to be active or potentially active and was advised by the property owner that there were no private facilities in the area of excavation. Randall's personnel presumed the damaged facility was abandoned and proceeded to backfill over the damage after that had been uncovered, and what was uncovered was a coaxial cable and conduit that would be a part of Midco's system, communication system. As a result, in terms of the case itself, Randall's violated North Dakota Century Code by presuming that an underground facility was abandoned without verification by reference to installation records or testing, and North Dakota Century Code 49-23-06, and again, by backfilling over the damage and failing to notify the operator of damage to their facilities. As a result of this order, this motion and order, if it is approved, the respondent, which would be Randall's, must serve an answer to this complaint upon the complainant and the commission within 21 days after service of the complaint, or the commission may deem the complaint to be admitted. And as a result of this, if the complaint were to be admitted, and I say were because that still remains to be seen, the commission would impose potentially a civil penalty of up to $25,000, but at least $10,000. So we'll wait to see what type of response we receive, if any, and proceed from there.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Excuse me for a sec. Well, I'm in trouble if I have a sore throat already because I've got about six or seven more. So, okay, my next motion is I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission SKS Construction LLP Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-20-201.
Second.
On May 6, 2020, the Commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint alleging a violation by SKS Construction of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23, which again is the one-call excavation notice system. The Commission did send a letter to SKS enclosing the complaint, requested a response, which was received in a timely manner from SKS, and following that, on November 20th, a consent agreement between Public Service Commission advocacy staff and SKS was filed for the resolution of the complaint. SKS is located in Fargo, North Dakota. That is where their business location is, and this ties back to an event that occurred on or around April 30th, 2020. SKS personnel began an excavation while removing a portion of a sidewalk. There was no damage that was indicated to any underground facility that we're aware of. But, however, SKS began excavating before contacting the notification center and providing an excavation or location notice before beginning work. The excavation was not being made at a time of emergency, which means that SKS did violate North Dakota Century Code by failing to provide an excavation or location notice to the one call center at least 48 hours before beginning an excavation. Under the consent agreement, SKS agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $500 with $250 suspended on the condition that SKS commit no further violations of the North Dakota one-call law within 5 years of the date of this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I could have added this, but it's still applicable. Whenever an amount is suspended, part of the amount is suspended, it would indicate that the operator has not had a previous violation of the North Dakota one-call law and that they were cooperative in terms of working with them through the complaint. So worth noting, which is appreciated, obviously. Next, I move the Commission adopt the order on interim rates in Montana Dakota Utilities Company 2020 natural gas rate increase application, case number PU-20-379.
Second.
Okay, we've got a couple of these today. So this is the first, different companies, but the same process. For this one, on August 26, 2020, Montana Dakota Utilities Company and Great Plains Natural Gas Company filed with the Commission a combined increase in rates for natural gas service. On August 26, 2020, Montana Dakota and Great Plains filed with the Commission a combined interim rate increase for natural gas service. On September 23, 2020, the Commission suspended the rates, and on November 19, 2020, Commission advocacy staff filed comments regarding the combined interim rate increase. The combined final rate increase is based on revenue requirements for a projected 2021 test year, and the increase for a Montana Dakota residential customer using 88 decatherms per year in terms of what the company has asked for. Not what the interim rate increase will be, but what the company is seeking would be $6.26 per month on average. The overall increase for a Great Plains residential customer using 80 decatherms per year would be $4.10 per month on average. And again, this is what the company is seeking. Even though the Commission suspended the rates, a company filing for a rate increase is entitled to an interim increase under North Dakota Century Code, and that is section 49-05-06. The interim rate increase must meet certain criteria, including the same rate of return on common equity authorized by the Commission in the Public Utilities' most recent rate proceeding, rate base and expense items the same in nature and kind allowed by the Commission in its most recent rate proceeding, and no change to the existing rate design. So in other words, this is companies are entitled to an interim rate increase. That is a part of how the law is written. So in this case, the interim rate increase, again for a Montana Dakota residential customer, would be $3.57 per month on average, which is so that would be $3.57 per month, and then the interim rate increase for a Great Plains residential customer would be $1.77 per month. So we've got two interim rates that will be effective, would be effective upon approval of this order on January 1st, 2021. The interim rate increase will be shown as a separate line item on the customer's bills, so they will see them. And some of my comments will be the same on a following order a little later in the agenda. But if a company is not receives less, or the amount is less than what they've sought, and even less than the interim rate increase, then customers would get a refund for the difference. So that is important to note. And that has happened in the past. That's not an uncommon thing that would occur. But we'll have to process the case and look at the numbers on it. This is just another step in the process. So interim rates at this point in time, and the rate increase will be processed as they normally are.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, next on the agenda, I move the Commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2021 rates, case number PU-20-406.
Second.
On September 23rd, 2020, NSP filed an application for approval of its 2021 Transmission Cost Recovery Rider Rate. The TCR rate, which is the transmission cost recovery, allows NSP to recover transmission capital and operating costs not presently reflected in base retail rates. On October 7th, 2020, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, which provided until November 21st, 2020, for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No response was received. On November 18th, 2020, the Commission discussed the matter with NSP during an informal hearing. And as a part of this annual update adds six new or modified transmission projects that are not currently in the TCR rider or in base rates. The change results in a monthly billing impact for a average residential customer using 750 kilowatt hours per month. It would be approximately 61 cents, 0.61. And I just want to make sure I'm not missing something here. Okay, just to add finally that the Commission advocacy, or Commission staff, I should say, did take a look at this, as they would with all of them, and they did concur with the increase as well, and that helps me significantly in terms of making my decision as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, next on my agenda, I move the Commission issue the order on notice of probable violation in Public Service Commission, Northern States Power Company Pipeline Safety Enforcement, case number GS-20-412.
Second.
This ties back to August 31st of this year, of 2020. Public Service Commission staff. We're conducting an operator qualification field inspection in Fargo. And as a result of that, noticed some discrepancies in how activity was being conducted. On September 2nd, the program manager for the commission's gas pipeline safety program issued a notice of probable violation and a proposed compliance order. So those were both issued to NSP on November 6, 2020. NSP, which is a Minnesota-based company and a subsidiary of Xcel Energy, submitted a letter in response to both the NOPV and PCO. In their response, NSP provided they are not contesting the notice of probable violation and would remit a payment, a civil penalty payment in the amount of $30,000. However, they are objecting to the PCO, or the proposed compliance order, which ties back to their field manual that they provide to their folks who are out and about doing this type of work. And they did submit a written exclamation, some information, other materials in response to the allegations and recommendations. A hearing was not requested by the company. We did receive the $30,000 civil penalty, we being the commission, on November 23rd of 2020. And in terms of what happened during the, as was described, the operator qualification field inspection, staff identified the following probable violations of the pipeline safety regulations. The first, individuals were performing a covered task on NSP's pipeline facilities without qualifications or without qualification or direct supervision as required by Title 49 Code of Federal Regulations, Part 192, Subpart N. Secondly, NSP failed to adequately prepare and follow a manual of written procedures for conducting operations and maintenance activities as required by Title 49. As a result of that, the notice of probable violation, that was a civil penalty of $30,000. That's all tied to the notice of probable violation. The PCO is embedded in this as well, but that is separate from the $30,000 fine. In their November 6, 2020 response, NSP chose a response option, which they certainly can do, which provides they're not contesting, again, the allegation of Part 1, but are do take issue with the second part, the proposed compliance order. And the commission is continuing to review the response to the PCO, and so stay tuned on that. But this is serious, and really, just to put it very simply, what this is, it's about who can work and conduct work either under supervision or without supervision, if they have the proper qualifications, before the gas meter. Beyond the gas meter, as the system extends into a dwelling, whether it's a business, a residence, et cetera, that's a different story. But this all goes back to the safety aspect of making sure that when that gas is turned off, that proper procedures are being followed so the public isn't at risk as repairs, maintenance, whatever it might be, occur. So this happened to just staff was out there doing an inspection. They did an excellent job of spotting the violation when they were in the field, and I think it's just a testament to their knowledge and expertise in this area that they were able to quickly determine that a violation was occurring, and to not only point it out, but to, I think, appropriately follow up with the company with the civil penalty amount. So you would like to see a world where there aren't violations. In a perfect world, there wouldn't be, but hopefully this serves as an example for others that this is to be taken very seriously.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Motion is approved.
I'm feeling a little bit like the Maytag repair person up here. It's like rate cases and whatnot usually aren't that popular, but for obvious reasons, I don't find them particularly attractive either. So here's my next one, my marathon agenda list. On October 15th, 2000, I may need, does someone have the, I had a redo and I don't think I have the motion. Thank you, if I could borrow that real quickly. Okay, my next motion, I move the commission adopt the order on Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2021 Tariff and Rates, case number PU-20-426. Thank you, Commissioner Christman.
Second.
On October 15th, 2020, Northern States Power Company, known as NSP, filed an application for approval of its 2021 Renewable Energy Rider Tariff and Rates. The purpose of the rider is to recover from NSP North Dakota Electric customers costs of renewable energy generation not presently reflected in retail rates. On November 12th, 2020, NSP filed an addendum to its 2021 Renewable Energy Rider application. On November 18th, 2020, Commission discussed this matter with NSP and Commission staff during an informal hearing. On December 2nd, 2020, the Commission issued a Notice of Opportunity for Hearing that provided until December 30th, 2020 for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No requests were received. The 2021 renewable energy rate would be applied to all energy billed to each customer effective on January 1st of 2021. The renewable energy rate includes costs of 8 previously approved projects and 1 new project expected to be in service in 2021. The result of the renewable energy rider rate change for an average for a residential customer consuming 750 kilowatts per month, which would be an average customer, would be a bill increase of $1.31 per month. NSP reports its proposed tariff changes are to clarify the true-up provision, so that's a part of this as well. The Commission finds NSP's investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery. The incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and that the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of NSP's tariff. And that would be comments that would originate from staff in particular that reviewed this case.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and the next one is one that certainly gets a person's attention. So I move the commission adopt the order on interim rates in Northern States Power Company 2021 electric rate increase application case number PU-20-441.
Second.
This was a rate case that was filed on November 6th, 2020 by Northern States Power Company, doing business as Xcel. They filed with the commission an increase for increase in rates for electric service on November 6th. Xcel also of 2020, Xcel also filed an interim rate increase for electric service. And then on December 2nd, 2020, the commission suspended Xcel's tariffs and rates, which would be a part of normal part of the procedure. And getting just right into the heart of this, what Xcel is seeking, and I use the word seeking, would be an increase of $8.37 per month for a residential customer, average residential customer using 750 kilowatt hours. And that would be during the winter months, during the summer months. The rate increase for an average Xcel residential electric customer would be $8.53 per month. So it would be a little bit higher in the summer, and that would be tied, I would expect, to air conditioning use, that type of thing. And again, even though the commission suspended the rates, a company filing for a rate increase is entitled to an interim rate increase under North Dakota Century Code Section 49-05-06. And again, I explained the criteria that the interim rate increase must meet when I discussed MDU's interim rate increase, so I won't repeat that. The same terms would apply. So that was, I gave the numbers in terms of what the company is seeking. What the interim rate will actually be will be slightly less. During the winter months, it would be $6.63 per month, and during the summer months, it would be $7.99 per month. Just looking at the timing of when the case came in, it could certainly stretch into a few of the summer months. The case was filed on November 6th, so November, December. If we were to complete this within 7 months, which I think was mentioned at a previous meeting, doesn't always occur due to the complexity of these types of cases, we would be concluded by the end of May, approximately. It could stretch, though, into June or July. So that impact in terms of the summer month increase could be felt, although most of it will occur during the winter months and spring months. Commission advocacy staff who watches this closely states that XL's interim increase complies with North Dakota Century Code regarding an interim rate increase. In the event the interim rate amounts collected by XL are in excess of final rates approved by the commission, XL is required to refund the excess under North Dakota Century Code, including interest, at a rate to be determined by the commission. These interim rates would be effective January 5th, 2021. So that, obviously, a lot of the language related to Century Code as a part of the case. All of that aside, as I mentioned, the law does provide that companies can submit an application at a time of their choosing to request a rate increase, which NSP has done. It also provides they can receive an interim increase while the case is being processed, which I had mentioned is that they are entitled to in Century Code. However, what the law provides in the short term doesn't necessarily mean that the company will get what it wants in the end. If the approved increase is less, again, than what they are seeking, then a refund will be issued to customers. And as I mentioned previously, we have seen that occur in the past. I would say this most importantly, that all rate cases are met with a critical eye, especially when they're as aggressive as this one. At a time like this, you simply can't ignore the impact a permanent increase, if it were to occur of this magnitude, would have on ratepayers, particularly low-income households. This is a very significant ask by the company and a request by the company. So I've looked at their application. I'll reserve comments in terms of my initial thoughts on that. But this is going to take some work, and it's again, it's a very aggressive increase. I'll point out that the last rate increase for XL or NSP occurred in 2012. So it has been 8 years. We've mitigated, delayed, whatever. Well, delay might not be the best word, but there have been several settlements along the way that have kept the company from coming in for a rate increase. But again, the last actual rate case was 8 years ago, full-blown rate case. So it's been a long time. I think that's fair to acknowledge that it's been an extended period of time. But again, as mentioned, at a time like this, it stands out. It would stand out anyway, but it stands out particularly so in a time like this. So got some work to do.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your outlining of that case and the others too. One additional point on the time since XL has had a rate case. The case was filed in 2012. There was a settlement agreement. I think we approved it in maybe the end of 2013 or 14. And it's set up a three-year plan for rate, how the rates were going to be. And so that's probably worth reviewing for any reporters that are going to be writing about this, what that called for. And then there were some rate freezes included as well and some that were extended. So, there's kind of a more colorful history in terms of what XL's rates schedule has been for their general rates over the last 8 years, I guess. Eight years. Mm-hmm. But I did want to comment, too, because there's beyond that, we've already addressed in today's agenda two rate cases, one for XL, which is electric, and one for MDU, which is gas, and two riders, one for transmission and one for renewable energy. And the riders are timed always to kind of be reviewed this time of the year, so this is a standard operating. But I do think just having all four of these in one agenda is indicative about what's happening in our electric and our energy sector. I mean, our country is undergoing a major overhaul, major transformation of the electric grid and energy technologies in general, and that's really being driven by a number of things. One, aging infrastructure, and you see that in the MDU gas case. Their case is about replacing and investing in natural gas infrastructure to safely deliver natural gas to people's homes. So we'll be looking at that really closely. And then on the electric side, there's a lot of, you know, plant in service that has been there since, you know, the 70s, 60s, 70s, that is being looked at, retirements, et cetera. And so that's one piece of it. But there's also the piece of new technologies coming on board. You see that with the renewables and wind and solar batteries, and also fracking natural gas, the huge supplies of natural gas and its use. And then also you can't ignore the public policies that are at play as well. Strong ones at the federal level that impact North Dakota, and then state policies also that don't directly impact us as much, and we do everything we can to stay true to our state policies. But we do have states in our region that are companies that serve North Dakota customers operate in these states too, and those policies do impact the companies that serve here. So those are three major things that are happening that have an impact on North Dakota ratepayers. So it's in the context of all this change, it's important for our customers to recognize and acknowledge that we do have among the lowest electric rates in the whole nation. And our commission, and I say this with confidence, knowing where my colleagues are in terms of their commitment, 100% commitment to two things, reliability and low-cost electric service. We will vigorously examine these rate cases and do our very best to stay, keep those principles at front and center. But I do also want to make two points for customers, and that is there's a lot of communication to people nowadays about the new technologies and what they promise. And customers need to be smart and discerning in learning about these promises and what they are. When people are told that a power source is low cost, they need to know what that means, and that low cost it doesn't mean that their costs are going to go down. Low cost in the context of electricity investments mean that what they're promising they believe to be lower than the alternatives. But in all cases, it's going to be higher than what they're likely higher than what they're paying now because it's a new investment. And so that's an important distinction that is, quite honestly, almost never, ever mentioned in the materials that companies provide when they're making their cases for this stuff. And then secondly, these companies and policymakers are listening to customers. And they're polling people, and they're getting customer surveys and all these sorts of things. And they're asking questions about what do you want. And when they get responses in one way or another about what they want, they're using that and taking it to the bank and saying, this is what customers want. Customers want more renewables. They want cleaner, greener technology. They want that. And I believe that customers want that too, and so do I. But I do think that the important piece that people need to start being asked and start paying attention to is at what speed, at what cost, and at what reliability. Those are the three other important parts of the conversation that simply have to be talked about because they matter. So I just want to, because we had four cases on the docket today all relating to cost increases, I just wanted to call that to people's attention, and it's something that it's probably a soapbox I'll be on for for the rest of this year and into the future, because I feel like it's our obligation to help educate people about these types of decisions and choices that we're making.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I had a lot of things I was going to say that have already been said by both of you two, so you've covered it well. I don't have much to add to that except for one thing. Maybe it's two things, but we don't deliver this news a week before Christmas week because we want to wreck everybody's Christmas. We move things along. The company applies. We move things along as quickly as we can, still having done thorough analysis, following the requirements of open contracting and everything, and open meetings laws and notices and everything. So we'll move them as quickly as can under the rules. It just happens to be at Christmas that these things fall on our calendar. But I want to add some more bad news. As significant as the accumulation of these things are, if what appears to be the incoming administration in Washington, D.C. follows through on their promise to significantly raise corporate income taxes, that's going to get added on to this too. And whenever they do that, we can count on the companies coming in and having a very justifiable case for another increase to pay for whatever amount they raise their taxes by. Mm-hmm. So that's not even calculated in here yet, and they have promised that for a year.
Now, are you done, Commissioner?
I am.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. I thought you were, but just wanted to make sure. One of the difficult parts, and frankly, even as it's not something that you would probably realize as a ratepayer, unless you work at the commission, particularly in public utility division, or if you're a commissioner, or if you're a past commissioner or staff member, but all staff members at the commission see what happens. I hate to say behind the scenes, but there are a lot of moving parts to all of this. So you heard about two rider increases. Sometimes riders go down. There were three riders that we talked about. I don't know if it was last meeting or the meeting before that we voted on that ranged from a decrease of 4 cents to an increase of 4 cents. There are assets, generation assets. If it's a generation rider that land in the rider short term, eventually move into base rate during the next rate case, but then there are also assets that depreciate out and result in a reduction from a customer's bill. So they churn out the bottom the new generation assets or transmission or renewable, whatever they might be, layer in on the top. But it's like having multiple loans, if you will, and you're paying some off at the bottom and you get a few new ones at the top. It doesn't mean that the average bill automatically goes up by the amounts that have been stated. And here's a case in point. And this will be docketed, just received this at a request that I had. In 2013, and don't mistake this as my defending the company, because when you ask for the amount that they've asked for, I, as well as I'm certain my colleagues, will be very aggressive in scrutinizing the numbers. But the average residential customer in 2013, NSP customer in North Dakota, paid $87 per month. In 2019, they paid $81 per month. In 2020, they paid $84 per month. Now, I haven't vetted these numbers yet, but they were just received. But customers get used to a certain baseline, but it goes back to the point I'm making that costs do churn out of rate base. They're not in there forever. They churn out. New costs are layered in. So when we talk about, well, your bill just went up, well, it went up in that category, but if another category sees a decrease, or even within that category sees a decrease because an asset is depreciated out, it's very difficult to give the full picture and the full story unless you look at what's an average bill done over the course of time. And those are the numbers I've described. They've been essentially flat, certainly below the rate of inflation, significantly below the rate of inflation, to Commissioner Fedorchak's point, and it's an excellent point. North Dakota is a low-cost leader when it comes to utility service to customers' homes and businesses, have long been not only a low-cost leader, but a reliability leader as well. You don't hear of instances like those occurring in the West Coast, on the West Coast in California. You expect the lights are going to be on. There's less certainty if you live in Los Angeles or another part of California, far less certainty. And we have high winds. High winds don't shut down our system. Lord knows we have high winds, which is where I learned the value of a number four clipper cut because of living in North Dakota. But you know, seriously, we have 40, 50, 60 mile an hour high gusty winds. When they occur out in the West Coast, you know what happens? You get rolling brownouts or even blackouts, because their infrastructure has not been taken care of to the extent that we take care of ours. And you can't take that chance when you have 30 below temps in January or 100 degree temps in July. So it's just for those both listening and then and for the press as well, it's difficult. I know the headline is often, company to raise rates by X amount. And you know, that's the headline. And then people see it, and they understandably get very excited. But then if you were to go to someone and say, well, in 2013 your bill was approximately $87. In 2014 it was approximately $86 per month. In 2015, approximately $86. In 2016, approximately $82. $84 in 2017. $86 in 2018. $81 in 2019. And $84 in 2020. Within a few dollars, moving up and down over an eight-year period, that's because of a lot of hard work that the commission does, commission staff in particular, to protect ratepayers. So more on this, but I think those are numbers. Again, the more you put out, the more people have to think about, but rightfully so. So I think the company would, at this point, probably be better served to make explanations in terms of their new rate increase ask that they put before the commission at, you know, again, a timing of their choosing. We certainly didn't pick the holiday season for this to occur.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, the last item on my agenda, I move the commission approve the tariff and rates in Northern States Power Company franchise fee, Horace. Tariff and rates, case number PU-20-452.
Second.
This is, again, what is called a franchise fee that the city of Horace is going to have as a surcharge. It will be placed on a customer's gas bill. And you know, just to be very blunt, this is a tax on ratepayers. This isn't something the company has any control over. We had one that was similar several meetings ago or for the city of West Fargo, I believe. And I think Grand Forks also implements one. I want to say Fargo. But as I saw the second one that came forward, I would like to have, and I'm going to add this to either scheduling or discussion, you know, followed by the scheduling of a work session related to this. The company doesn't have a choice, and I don't believe that by law the commission has a choice to deny recovery for the company. The company is seeking recovery on something that the city of Horace is placing upon them, and they have a legal right to that recovery. If that right were denied, it would be could easily be considered a taking from the company. So they are entitled to a right of return on this. I don't think, in my opinion, there's any question about that. But at the same time, is it really the company's responsibility to implement a tax on the citizens of the city of Horace because they're city commission, council members, however that is structured, decide that they want to add a 2% surcharge on every customer's bill. And currently, I think it is listed as a surcharge. It's vague. And I just want to talk about that in a work session setting, not here, and maybe a little bit in discussion, or maybe we'll just go into scheduling with it. But I think if a city wants to place a surcharge, we should list it as a city tax by the city of Horace or the city of West Fargo or the city of whomever. And that would apply to, you know, this is for being placed on NSP's bills and subsequently lands in the customer's lap. But for any utility, that if you're going to place this type of a surcharge, I think we have to be as transparent and clear as possible where it's coming from. Because in the brief discussions I've had, but we can talk more with it about staff, I'm not sure that we can prevent this from happening. I don't believe we can, but we'll talk about that. But if, in fact, there isn't a control mechanism or something that we can do to change it, that it's at least properly identified. Because otherwise it just becomes I don't want this to turn into a free-for-all where every city in North Dakota that starts to decide that, wait a second, we can just place a franchise fee, have it embedded in a customer's utility bill that no one really notices. And if they need funds, they need to bring it directly in front of their citizens, in my opinion, and be clear that whether it's a property tax increase, whatever they're looking at, that's on them. I don't like the fact that it's being done as you know, through a utility bill type mechanism. It doesn't sit well with me, but from a legal standpoint, I believe that this does have to be approved, and it would be effective January 1st. So I did vet it with staff to that point in terms of do we really have a choice today on the vote? And their answer was, from a legal standpoint, no. But we do have a say in how we proceed with these types of things in terms of customer bills in the future.
Is there any further discussion?
Well, I'll just say...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
I'll just say that, yeah, I can see this continuing to spin more and more. And if you're in Horace and your customers are helping to pay for the franchise fee that West Fargo or some other community applied previously, you figure, well, they might as well help pay for ours then too. And so you add one, and then everybody else adds them, and then somebody raises it. And it really is probably something that maybe needs to be discussed with the legislature, whether they want some kind of a limit on how much these franchise can be, or do they want to not allow municipalities to charge franchise fees to the utilities, or I don't know either exactly where it all ends, or if there even is anything in legislation that limits it.
How does Horace customers pay for West Fargo's franchise fee? I misunderstood you, maybe.
Well, if this gets approved, we would be allowing recovery for whatever amount this franchise fee amounts to, and they're going to spread that out over everyone in North Dakota, aren't they? Or is it just specifically on Horace?
Just Horace. Just Horace.
Okay. Well, so then that eliminates that factor. But if you're, it still goes with being on the board of the city or county or whichever all municipalities are allowed to do this. I haven't researched it, I guess, at this point, but I don't know who all can apply a franchise fee. But I can see that seems like maybe an easier way out than increasing the property taxes that you get blamed for more directly, probably. And so I don't know where it necessarily ends.
Yeah.
Probably a legislative issue, really.
Right. I think from a transparency standpoint, I want to have the discussion for these very reasons. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Sure. I think you've got a great idea to have language that requires it to be listed as a city franchise fee or, city-imposed franchise fee or something on the bill. And I sort of assumed, and probably wrongly, that's how that would be stated on a bill. We did approve one of these for West Fargo not that long ago.
Right.
And in my view, the local leaders are elected by the people in West Fargo and in Horace and accountable to them for these kinds of decisions. So I think it's local control, and I don't view it as being something that I should weigh in on whether they have a franchise fee or not. And I think anybody who has any community that franchises, gives them a franchise agreement, can add a fee. I think that's so any franchise agreement probably has the potential to have a fee. But that said, I think that it is a good point that it shouldn't be buried. It should be clearly stated on the bills so people know where's this coming from and who made the decision. Mm-hmm. And that's an important component. So.
Yeah, and I don't. Oh, go ahead, Commissioner.
Well, I think, too, it ought to be clear where that's coming from, that it wasn't just the company or the PSC adding this much more to our utility bills again, that it was their local community, and that those dollars then are staying in the local community to do the things they choose to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I certainly don't want to. I'm not advocating that the commission be judge and jury on whether or not these fees are justified or not. But if they are going to be applied, and utilities have no control over whether or not they are or are not, whether they're applied, because they don't, then how do we go about directing the various utilities in terms of how this is listed on their bill. Because I just think right now it's far too easy for any municipality to just say, well, we'll put a 2 or 3% franchise fee or whatever the number is. And, you know, whether it's on a cable bill or whether it's on a gas bill or whether it's on an electric bill. And I just don't want to enable that might not be the right word. I just want it to be clear to consumers where these charges are coming from. This is one that I actually, not that I wouldn't in other cases, but this is certainly one I would defend the utilities on. They don't have control over this. It's applied. There isn't a single thing they can do other than pass it along to the ratepayer, which they are entitled to do by law, or again, it becomes a taking from them. So from a commission standpoint, from a utility standpoint, it's something that we don't have a lot of control over unless the legislature were to view it differently in the future. But we'll put it on, again, we'll get something scheduled after the first of the year to have a discussion with staff and see how we want to move forward.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, and that completes my marathon, Commissioner Fedorchak.
Well, it only took an hour.
It was a lot. Yeah. You know, one thing, we have 8 different riders across 3 electric utilities. So the two that are the last two, and that I believe concludes all of the riders for 2021, they're updated every year. So the fact that they're coming in, and they come in, you know, in the fourth quarter of every year, they do. And they'll come in next year during the fourth quarter in 2021. They'll come in as well, and in 2022, et cetera. And, you know, we rebalance those at the end of every year. So they're normal. They just tend to stand out a little bit more because of the other two rate increase requests, which both came in, one in November and possibly, I think both actually in November. So we have to move in a timely fashion on those. So could not avoid the holidays, unfortunately. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Mr. Chairman, I have just one item in my portfolio today. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Senex Pipeline LLC, amend certificate number 202 and route permit 212, citing application case number PU-20-448.
Second.
So on March 14th of 2018, the commission issued to Senex Pipeline Certificate of Corridor Compatibility 202 and Route Permit 212, and this designated a corridor and route for the construction, operation, and maintenance of a nearly 150-mile, 10-inch diameter pipeline to transmit refined petroleum products from through Williams, Montreal, Ward Counties, North Dakota. On November of 2020, Senex filed with the commission an application to amend this route in Williams County, and where a segment was constructed outside the designated corridor. And they also filed with the commission an application to amend the designated route where construction segments deviated from the designated route by 21 feet or more, but within the designated 200-foot corridor. And there was a number of those deviations. This notice of opportunity for hearing goes out to the public and lets anybody who has concerns with the alterations that were made to let us know. The deadline for comments is January 15th. And if we don't receive any comments or requests for hearing, we can, or if we deem it appropriate, we can determine this matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, soon to be Commission Chair Fedorchak. Commissioner Christman.
I move the Commission approve the parent guarantee filed on November 18th, 2020, which replaces the parent guarantee approved on July 23rd, 2020, in FPL Energy Oliver Wind 2 LLC, 48 megawatt wind energy center, North Dakota, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-110.
Second.
This whole thing revolves around a name change, and they sound very familiar, so I'm going to try and emphasize it when I get to those. But 4 weeks ago, this commission received notice that FPL Energy Oliver Wind 2 LLC's assets were transferred to Oliver Wind Energy Center 2 LLC. From here on, I'm just going to refer to this as Oliver 2 because it's the same thing. It has a nameplate capacity of 48 megawatts and consists of 32 1.5-megawatt turbines. Last summer, on July 23rd, we had approved a $4 million decommissioning parent guarantee for this facility. Now, Oliver 2 has now filed a decommissioning parent guarantee for, again, the $4 million to replace the one approved last summer. The guarantor is NextEra Energy Capital Holdings, and it was the guarantor last summer and will continue to be. However, the parent guarantee will just now reflect the new name of the facility. Staff has reviewed this guarantee and recommends approval, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I move the commission amend contract number AM-827-20 with Dan Hart Patrol Service LLC to extend the contract until January 31st, 2021 for the 2020 Hettinger and Stark Counties AML Reclamation Project in Public Service Commission 2020 Hettinger and Stark Counties AML Project PSC case number AM-20-180.
Second.
So this project involved the elimination of dangerous high walls at four different abandoned surface mines in Hettinger and Stark Counties. Work was completed at three of the four sites. However, at the region site, there's about 4 acres that remain unseeded. And the areas that have not been seeded were just too wet, and that's why the delay. They will be seeded after it freezes to prevent tracking and to allow the area to be traversed without getting stuck. At this time, the contractor plans on finishing the seeding this week that we're in. If approved, this motion will just simply extend the contract by a month from December 31st of this year until January 31st, and it will allow the completion of the seeding and then just the final billing process.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Christman. In terms of announcements, just one, the next regularly scheduled commission meeting isn't until next year, on January 6th, 2021 at 10 a.m., and I don't believe we have any other scheduled meetings between now and then.
Correct.
A result of the Christmas holiday season going into New Year's. But rest assured, the commission will remain quite busy. Our plate is full, which is just the way we like it. So we'll now take a brief recess to take questions from the press, followed by the administration portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.